fuck it.
Awesome. No. The play button.
Yep.
No, hold on. Hello.
Hi.
Clement's taking pictures in the back. That's a good sign. Okay, so this has been a couple of months in the making now, I think. Myself and Peter will be speaking about heavenly wisdom and then worldly wisdom. That's what Peter's going to be speaking to next week. I've prepared a statement. I'll slowly read out said statement for y'all. So, yeah, usually I have a guitar here as well, and I feel quite naked with no guitar in front of me, but I've got lots, like two microphones and stuff like that instead. So what was the other thing? The other thing was that just the week before, Clement was talking about teachers being more strictly judged, and that you should not try and make your fellow believer stumble, so no pressure there either. So, you know, if I start being heretical, Huyen said he was going to come round and break the door or something like that. Okay, and then actually, there's not a lot of people here today, which is probably a good thing. A lot of people said they couldn't make it, so hello on the podcast. That would be me. Okay, so today is about heavenly wisdom. So I suppose the thing, how do I hit play on this? Wait, okay, so the thing that I thought about most was what is wisdom? Sorry, just hit the button. Oh, nope. Oh, actually, the thing is, let's read the passage first. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to James chapter 3, actually. I think that's wrong. 13 to 18. And I'll read it out. And it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good deeds, good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Okay, so, first slides. So when I got given this topic by Alex, the first thing I thought about was, am I a wise person? And then I thought, probably not. So I was thinking of any good examples of where I showed myself that I was a wise person, and I could probably think of a lot more unwise things that I've done than wise things that I've done. So I will give you an example right now. So a few years ago, I was cycling my bike. I had to go over to my mum and dad's house. And it was quite a nice day, and you know, it was quite far away and stuff like that. And I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll cycle back home instead, because you know, I wanted to try and keep fit. Let's do that. So I cycled all the way back to my mum and dad's house, did the thing that I needed to do at my mum and dad's house, and then started cycling back. So I was cycling back. I went through the hedge that I'd usually go through, went down this like hill where there was like houses on either side, and then I had to cross like a little crossroad thing. And then I go up a little hill, and I was coming down. And as I was coming down towards the stream, there's a right-hand turn. It was really cold, but you know, I was enjoying the moment and stuff like that. Wind was in my hair, all that sort of stuff. It was really good fun. So as I was coming down this hill and then taking this right-hand bend, that was when it hit me. And what hit me was the pavement as I basically slid off my bike and landed on my face. So that wasn't really very nice. So picture. Boom. So as I was basically landing on my face, I somehow managed to like slide this way, and then I managed to scratch both my wrists and my face. So there was like a tripod effect where I had like three parts of my body rubbing against the floor. And as I was going on the floor, I thought to myself, I could visibly remember, it probably only lasted a couple of seconds, but as my face was rubbing against the floor, I thought, it would be really helpful if I was wearing my helmet at this point in time. So I wasn't. So looking at it now, I thought to myself, wouldn't it have been a great idea if I'd been a bit more wise and wore a helmet? So I think if you're riding your bike, you should all wear a helmet, taped from my example and stuff. Still good enough to take a selfie afterwards as my massive scar or scab healed. Where am I? Yeah, so riding a bike without a helmet at the time was not very wise. Now today is about heavenly wisdom, not really worldly wisdom. That's going to come from Peter next week. But I suppose I've got a lot of examples of worldly wisdom that I'm going to be chatting about later on and stuff. What does a wise person look like to you? When we think about wise people, what do we think of? Not someone who I think is like a young person, but someone who's older maybe. Not someone who's quite impulsive, like someone who goes outside and rides his bike without a helmet or being prepared. Maybe someone who has considered a life and lived the life well and, considered all the possibilities and stuff. So Clement said in the first chapter, on James 9, chapter 1, verse 19, someone who is quick to listen and slow to speak. Chapter 1 talks about building character and perseverance. And perseverance is not something that comes about quickly. It's something that takes time and I think wisdom. Character, I think, perseverance, all these sorts of things come together to be like a wise type person. So, next chapter, next slide. Nope. Yes. So, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So before we start, if you're thinking about a wise person, why don't we all kind of think about someone who is wise and what you think a wise person should be like in your head and stuff, right? So think about maybe someone who you've seen on TV, who you have, maybe someone at church, maybe a teacher or a pastor. Think about that wise person and we will go through the passage and, refer back to what your idea of a wise person is. So in this first section, so who is wise? It says in the passage, they show wisdom through their good deeds. So we talked about good deeds a few weeks ago with Chow. He said that to have good deeds, it's not just about to have faith, because even the devil believes in God, but good faith should also be backed by good deeds. But I was thinking about this as well, and I thought, well, it's not just enough to have good deeds for the sake of just being sort of like a good person. Chow pointed out that without deeds, faith is kind of useless. Because I think at the time I put my hands up when they were like, can you have good deeds without having faith and stuff? But I think what's the point of having good deeds if you don't have faith to back it up with and stuff? You could be like a lot of people I've ever spoken to before have said, I can be a good person without being a Christian, or I don't need to be a Christian because I'm a good person and stuff. But I think you do need a combination of the two. I think you need to have faith, which produces the good deeds, because God makes you want to be a better person, and you also you have good deeds because we have faith in God, and that's why we want to do those good things and stuff. So for those who are wise, who have faith and a desire to do good things, how does that manifest itself? Whatever you do it with humility. Another aspect of someone who is wise, maybe. We should not be showy-offy about such things, but God does not call us to do such things in such a way, and we should also be humble. When you're humble, do you do all those sort of good deeds sort of things because you want to sort of further yourself, or do you do them to make yourself look good? That's not what you're supposed to do. So, next slide. So verse 14. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but as earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So I talked about these characteristics someone who's got good character. For me, when I came back from studying this passage, I was like, well, I think a wise person is someone who's basically can devote himself to something, who can spend a lot of time thinking about it, you know, who has time to sort of ponder it and stuff like that. I think we need to do that too. We need to think, challenge ourselves all the time and to devote ourselves to being wise. Wise isn't something that you can just do and become straight away and stuff. You have to develop wisdom. You need to work at it. And if it's not enough to just live on instincts or being smart, I think there's a distinction. There's a difference between wise and being smart. So when I think of smart people, I think of smart people like people who sort of like you know, have an exam or a test. Someone who can cram for that exam, and someone who can you know, spend lots and lots of time a couple of days before just learning everything about a test and stuff. I think all that sort of stuff is kind of things that are like lodged into your short-term memory, which disappear really quickly, and afterwards, you know, you forget everything about it and stuff. So I've taken a few tests in my time, and for some reason, I think I can tell you more about the exam halls that I was actually in than the actual stuff that I was actually did during my test, right? So all the stuff that I managed to cram in for my test kind of went in, went onto the piece of paper. I totally forgot about it afterwards. But, you know, the amount of time that I spent like inside McEwen Hall or something, looking at the ceiling or looking at, there was another one in some sort of like gym, physical gym area and stuff that I could remember more vividly than I could remember about anything that I'd written on a piece of paper. I think I spent more time sort of pondering the chair that I was sitting on and maybe the lovely artwork in the ceiling than I probably more did sort of cramming for that test, right? Sometimes I think that's, if that's how you live your life, more often than not, from one day to the next, cramming what I need to survive, just getting, you know, in my case, I'm getting my kids ready for bed that day, I'm surviving, I'm getting through hump day, Wednesday, and then I'm waiting for the weekend, and then the weekend comes, and I enjoy the weekend, and then I'm back onto the sort of like the first, Monday again. You know, is that a good way to kind of live your life and stuff, right? Surely there must be more to life than just, you know, surviving each day and stuff like that. Cool. So another example, have you ever heard of the term fake it till you make it, right? Again, I think this is like, I get kind of something that, you know, you do if you have enough smarts to kind of do that sort of thing, right? You know something, you don't know something, so you can fake it, and then you can make it. So when, I suppose I remember when I first started at my job, I was supposed to be like an expert in this thing that I was basically working on. So that was basically people were asking me to like do these things and stuff. And one of the things I had to do was I had to write a whole bunch of reports in the system that I was supposed to be the expert on. And I have to admit that I didn't know how to write any of these reports at all. I had never written a report at my last job. It was the job of someone else to write all the reports, so I never bothered learning about it and stuff. And what I had to do, I basically had to very quickly learn how to write a whole bunch of reports. And you know, as you do when your boss is like, oh, well, can you do this? You know, you've been here, you're supposed to be doing all this sort of stuff. I very, very quickly just went, oh yeah, no problem. I'll just get that done, not a problem. And then Googled everything to try and work out how to kind of write the reports and stuff. And it was all right actually, because like afterwards I managed to kind of pretend, fake it, and then I managed to kind of write all those reports. And after a while, you know, I wrote more reports than anybody else inside the company, and they're all quite good actually. And I got there, and I was quite happily afterwards able to say to my boss, actually, you know, like on my smarts, on what I could learn, I was able to kind of get by and learn and do these things. And you know, I was kind of confident in myself that I could be like, actually, you know, I didn't really know how to do any of that, but now I can. Now that time has passed, I can quite happily like admit that I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was sort of smart enough to get by and do that. Is that a good thing? You know, do you want to live your life in such a way where you're kind of living on that sort of smarts and living on that sort of faking it until you make it? Or do you want to kind of have a bit more time thinking about your life and stuff, right? So, No, no, I had to go back.
You want me to do it?
Can you go back one? How do you go back? Oh, here we go. I think you go back again. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so I wrote something down. So wise character of other people, back to our image, is like living a life settled and comfortable, recognizing that there is more than this, and that doing that first step is the start of something better. So I was thinking to myself as I was going through this, you know, you don't want to be like a smart person, you want to be like a wise person, someone who is not living a life which is just going on, but someone who can sort of ponder on things and stuff. And I suppose that, like, my challenge as I was reading through all of this and trying to like do this sort of stuff was, you know, I don't want to be that type of person who, you know, lives our life on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, if you're thinking about it, you know, are you that type of person, or are you kind of spending a bit more time and stuff? I still wouldn't say I was very prepared. I think I'm still maybe more smart than I am wise. I think I spent a lot of time thinking on the sermon, not actually doing anything about it, maybe cramming it at the last minute, and not preparing for it. I think the other thing that I kind of do a lot of times is I procrastinate. I kind of think, oh, maybe I should do it, but not do it, and then kind of put it off and stuff. I didn't have enough time mulling it over. Hopefully, I'm not relying on just wits, but rather than the ability to draw on a deeper knowledge and spend more time thinking about these sorts of things, not doing things that just sort of sits on the surface and then putting it off. So as I said before, maybe today should be about what not to do and more about what you can do and stuff. So I think that was my challenge on this, and I hope that's a challenge for you as well, that you know, I think we all need to be more prepared. Going back to that image of the person who is a wise person, you know, do you see yourself as a wise person, someone who you know, thinks a lot about these sorts of things, or kind of moves forward and stuff? So the wise person never looks rushed or flustered because they have lived through that already. They build on a knowledge gained on immersing themselves in God's word, maybe, so that they have that heavenly knowledge, a knowledge that when challenged will hold up, not like my soft face when it was grinding on the hard pavement. Okay, next slide. Okay, so wisdom is not gained in fleeting moments, but it takes time and effort to reflect. So sometimes that can be a bit scary, right? Like, you know, living and reflecting on things inside your life and stuff. Again, bad example for me. I'm not the type of person to reflect on things, I think. I really I'm constantly feeling like I want to be plugged in. I want to be sort of surfing Facebook, or reading about things, or listening to a podcast, or watching a bit of TV or something like that. I think that's what I'm really bad at. Like, whenever, even when I'm doing the dishes, I've got an earphone in, I'm listening to a podcast and stuff, because I want to be like listening and trying to sort of consume information all the time. But I think the information that I'm sometimes consuming is, you know, very fleeting and stuff, right? So sometimes it's kind of like, you know, sometimes I think you need to sort of decompress. You need to kind of take what you've learned, and you need to sort of really think about it and stuff. And I think for me, the best time that I ever do this is when I'm in the shower, because I can't plug in a headphone, or I can't be watching a TV and stuff. I think the only time that I do get the time to kind of think about, like, you know, what life is dealing with me at the time, or maybe like what work is doing and stuff, is when I'm in the shower, because that is the best time I have to think and stuff. Yeah, maybe I should definitely not get a TV in the shower or something. So spending time reflecting can be challenging, particularly in this world, but spending that quiet time is important. So that's one thing. Cool. Okay, so we're talking about worldly wisdom and spending time on that and kind of trying to be more heavenly wise. But I have a warning, because I was thinking to myself, So if your wisdom is basically about like thinking and about learning things and about being wise, then you know, you've got to concentrate what you're basically learning on the important things, right? So So, next verse. So, next verse, it says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." So, I think on that verse, I think I was thinking to myself, selfish ambition, you know, when you are spending time with yourself, when you're kind of like, you know, doing your reading and stuff, are you putting your needs first before anyone else's? You know, that's definitely an easy thing to do. You know, when you're single or when you've got no dependents, it's maybe a little bit easier to do. When you're married, it gets a little bit more difficult just to put yourself first. You probably shouldn't be doing that. When you've got kids, it definitely forces you to be much harder than being selfish. But I think for me, that's quite difficult and stuff, and that it means that your time is much more, much harder to come by. So, like, you know, in my case, when I try and find my time to basically do things that I want to learn or build in myself, you know, that's usually like when the kids are just in bed or when they've finished and they've had their shower and stuff, and I've got maybe like half an hour to an hour to do something. And, you know, do I want to do something constructive, or do I want to, you know, read my Bible or do a bit of reflecting and stuff, or do I basically just want to sit and play computer games or watch TV and stuff like that instead? I think, you know, I remember you can be quite harsh thinking about yourself in that sort of respect. You know, do you want to further yourself doing something important, or do you want to just sort of switch off and turn off and do something else? I think there are other forms of wisdom as well. I think when you're talking about worldly wisdom, I can think of lots of ways where I've probably spent a lot of time thinking about things that maybe weren't as important as maybe, you know, what I think God sort of teaches you and what God has ideas for you and stuff. I was thinking to myself the other day, like, I've got lots of useless facts and stuff inside my mind. Colin, he's sitting back there, was asking me the other day, he was asking me about car tires, really exciting topic. And he bought two new car tires, and he asked me, you know, why is it that when you put car tires, you buy car tires, you put the car tires on the back than you do putting them on the front? And I won't bore you with this topic, but I could probably have went for a good half an hour to an hour talking about car tires without even stopping. But you know, because I had so much information about car tires, you know. I mean, I think when you're looking at this verse and stuff, car tires is probably not unspiritual or not demonic, but it is an earthly wisdom and something which probably ultimately is not that important, right? Actually, car tires maybe, because, you know, if you put them in the wrong place, you might crash and die. But maybe not that important. But, you know, what use is all that information in your head for things that you can't take with you when you die? You know, you can't take earthly things with you, not money and not things. Maybe that should also include the time that you spend on things that, you know, ultimately aren't important. What is the use of experiencing new things in the world when we don't have our priorities straight? The heavenly wisdom to appreciate why it's there, or of God who put it there for you. If you looked at yourself, could you say the same thing? Are you basically prioritizing things that are not as important? Are we prioritizing our own selfish ambition over what God's ambition has for over us? We may not always prioritize ourselves or God above all else, but are we leaning towards that direction? Should we be doing that more and stuff? So put God first, have that center in your life, and other things will follow. In the wrong bit. Can you go back one again? Okay, so verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. I did a Google on wisdom and wisdom in the Bible, and one of the things that came up was also Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding to him and belongs eternal praise. So, does everybody remember the WWJD wristbands and stuff, right? What would Jesus do? You know, thinking about what would Jesus do, is that kind of like a heavenly wisdom? Basically taking that example of what Jesus would do and measure and putting it in your life. You know, Jesus was measured, confident, peaceful. In another translation, it talks about without variance, you know, someone who basically stuck with it and who would not be not impartial and not kind of point in different directions. I think when we think about our example of what a wise person is, if we can follow that wise example, you know, if we put that towards ourselves, you know, you no longer think of yourself on your feet and live by your wits and your smarts, but you put Jesus first. You are measured and confident because you know that you have considered the earthly things. You can do and compare them to what you think Jesus would have done. I think Jesus, WWJD should not just be a simple spur of the moment thing. I think that was basically what it was when you were looking at the looking at your wristband. But I think that that you should not use it more of like a short-term goal, but spend time sort of pondering and building on things, building your own wisdom. I think in that same way as worldly wisdom, I would challenge you today to get your priorities right and then apply those same principles, not to your own selfish ambition, but towards what God's ambition is for you. Okay. I think as you go about your worldly wisdom, you know, you should be hungry to ask questions, have a joy to know that you're learning and seeing yourself drawing closer to God. You may have your own wisdom, but imagine what it would feel like to be a wise person who has God on your side. So being wise is not being wise in this world, but you're wise in this world. I didn't read that right. Being wise, not of this world, but wise in this world. So I paraphrase terribly here. But like when we're wise, we should be sort of heavenly wise and, you know, have that sort of wisdom to kind of further other people into them. Wisdom where we are not quick to anger, wisdom where we know that the only manifestation of our love is God to show through our good deeds and stuff. Last verse. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So, I think here, it's basically saying, don't wait to build on heavenly wisdom or your wisdom in God. There's no point looking for wisdom when you need it, because by then it's too late. It's like when my face was rubbing across the concrete. It was probably wasn't a good idea to think maybe I would need a helmet right now, because then it was too late. Knowing what I know now, it's probably not enough to start learning when you need to. I think to myself what this sermon would have been like if I'd basically started yesterday, probably even worse than it is right now. but prepare yourself at all times for when you are tested. Like how perseverance in anything builds character. When it's quiet, build your knowledge, because you will be prepared for when the challenges come. So, last slide. TLDR, does anybody know what TLDR stands for?
Too long, didn't.
Yes. So, too long, didn't listen to my sermon. So I think, to sum it up, I think being wise is about taking your time and not just being smart. You want to be ready and settled in the wisdom of God, so when you get to that point and you are tested for whatever reason, you're not left wanting. Don't just be worldly wise. Don't spend your time just living your life in the moment and reading about car tires. Don't do that. WWJD, but a long way. So, you know, think always about what Jesus would do, but don't do it in such a way that it's like a fleeting thing where you're just taking one snap decision or doing another decision. And last one, the time is now. You know, build your wisdom now. so that when you need it or when people ask you about it, you can do it. That's it. Let's pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you can just be here today, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you are amazing, and that your life, Lord, and that your teachings, Lord, are not something that we should just pick up and grasp, Lord, in small moments, Lord, but that we should spend our time really thinking about you, really putting you first, Lord. I pray that as we go about our day, Lord, that we are constantly in awe of you and the amazing things that you've given us, Lord. I pray that our relationship with you, Lord, will last a lifetime, Lord, that we can always look to you, Lord, and that we should put you first and build on that relationship at all times. And I pray that as we go about this week, that you can just be with us, that we can really marvel at your glory. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.